Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. We can start reading with verse 1, Galatians 6, 1. Says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens," think about the burdens for a second, "and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work." So a man is burdened with his work. He has something to do. "Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." You have your own work to do. God's called you to do something with it. It may be something common with me, but still, it's a work and a burden. "Let him that is taught," verse 6, "in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Let's pray. Now, Father, we come back to you here tonight, and appreciated a house full this morning. We just ask that you might bless those that have come tonight. I know well why some couldn't be here tonight. And I pray that you'd keep folks safe as they go home later, and all the things that we need attended to you for and depend upon you for. But Father, for a little while, may we set our minds to these things that we're going to be dealing with, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, obviously, Galatians 6 is the great passage of sowing and reaping. And, you know, I don't know. You know that I grew up on a farm, and we were farmers and ranchers and dairymen the first 18 years of my life. And I left at 18 and never desired to go back, and haven't gone back. And yet, at the same time, I can't tell you how many times in the ministry, and for that matter in personal spiritual life, I'm taken back to the farm on things that the Bible says. Lessons about oxen and lessons about cattle and just farm labor, the hard work it takes to get things done, crops and failure and all those sort of things. I think sometimes I'm impressed a little bit, frankly, and I didn't raise our kids, of course, on a farm or anything, but I think one reason folks today in 2018 in America are as far removed from the Bible, one reason anyway, is simply for the fact that they haven't ever lived on a farm, never killed an animal, they raised a tomato plant here or there in a hothouse somewhere, but as far as being dependent upon that crop growing, because that's the cash for the year, they just never been there. And so I'm not saying I want to go back there and we shouldn't all have to, but I'm just saying it's one way that the devil's managed to kind of remove us a step further away from the Bible. Well, in Galatians chapter 6, I wanted to, again, I kind of peeled off and said something along the way, but those burdens born, that work, and a man taking care of those burdens and having rejoicing in himself alone. It says that, again, in verse 2 through 4 or 5. Then in verse 6, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things." And then breaks into the famous passage, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth." And, of course, I understand that going back in context, not just that which is communicated to him in verse 6, but the things that a man's called to do, being a father, being a husband, being a brother, all those things. And there are burdens involved with that, there are works involved with that, being a church member. And so it says in verse 7, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And that law of sowing and reaping, I've always taught, is just as real as the law of gravity. I mean, it can be a blessing. It's a blessing not to float off somewhere. But it can also kill you if you step off the wrong place, right? And so it is with sowing and reaping. I mean, it can be it can be a blessing, but at the same time you sow the wrong crop, it can really be a killer. And so it was with that in mind, and that I was thinking about some things and been thinking about them for a while, actually, because sometimes I do that. I think about things sometimes. But again, look in verse 8. Nothing that I have to say tonight is going to contradict this for sure. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Look, if you sow to the flesh, what you get back is rotten. And there's just really no exception to that, right? It's just a rotten thing. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There can be no question. Let us not be weary in well-doing, so you should sow well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But with that, after that, came the thought that truly enough, there are things that happen on the farm, and you sow corn, and so you get corn back, and there's drought and disease and all that sort of thing. But the more I thought about the farm, the more I have realized there are some disparities, there's some differences between the way the sowing and reaping works on the farm in some things as opposed to the way it works in the spiritual life, and I'd like to talk to you for a little while about that. Title of the message is Disparities in Sowing and Reaping. On a farm and in the spiritual life, there are some things that are common, that's for sure. There are seasons. There's a season for plowing and a season for planting and a season for tilling and cultivating and then a season for harvest. And so sowing and reaping goes in seasons in the spiritual life too. There's a lot of labor that goes into it. And the Lord may have spoiled you a time or two early in your Christian life and allowed you to reap a quick crop just to show you that it works. But as time goes by, you learn more and more that a lot of those crops have 20-year growing seasons, and sometimes you pray for a long time. So there's that. There's a lot of work that goes into it. Fouls are a problem. You learn that when that seed is sown, that the fowls of the air come and steal it. I remember well my dad's dad. Those guys used to plant corn, and there were times that the flocks of blackbirds and crows were so bad, and they hadn't started quite yet putting poison on the seeds to discourage fowl, the birds, that they literally sometimes had to stand in their field with a pocket full of shotgun shells and blow off a shotgun shell once in a while just to keep the birds from landing and just getting all the seed out of the ground. It's amazing. But fowls are a problem. You need the right sun and water. That's also true. But there are some dissimilarities. There are some things that need to be kept in mind. I'd like to run over a couple of those things with you tonight, actually more than a couple. First of all, one of the things that's different between sowing and reaping on the farm and sowing and reaping in the spiritual life is that sometimes, spiritually, we are blessed with crop failure. Now, there is not a farmer in the world, as far as I ever know, have known of, that have gone out after a mice infestation or a drought sets in or his crop is flooded out and gone in the backyard and fallen on his knees and raised his eyes to heaven and thanked God for crop failure. But I have. I don't know about you. With all the toil and the labor and the work put in and the plowing and the hot sun and the cold wind, a farmer wouldn't go out and thank God for crop failure. But boy, folks, many of us have invested a lot of time and a lot of money in the flesh. A lot of us, before we got right and maybe even after we got saved, spent a high percentage of our youth and energy in the wrong field, sowing all the wrong seed, and just sow into the flesh. And I can thank God for some crop failures. There are some things that have come my way, I'm sure, that I can think back to and see that I sowed that seed a long time ago and I have to reap it. But there's an awful lot of things that, as far as I can see, a lot of that seed has never come up, and I'm thankful for it. There are some things that I'm glad we didn't have Facebook for all the way back before the last Tyrannosaurus Rex died and all that stuff. But I mean, I can thank God for crop failure. Sometimes, I don't know of any farmers that ever blessed God for crop failures, but I have. And if you have any sense, you should too. And if you can't remember any crops that failed that should have come up, you need to go back and rethink that. But thank the Lord for crop failure. I noticed a strange thing in the Bible. I hadn't noticed it before. I looked up the word sow, and I looked up the word reap in all forms. In all forms, the word sow shows up about 110 times. In all forms, the word reap shows up about 55 times. So about half the times that somebody sows, something is not reaped. And to me, what that means in context with this is that there's an awful lot of times God is just merciful, and you don't reap what you sow. So thank the Lord for that. Amen? Now, I'm glad that I will reap for my well-doing. Go down to verse 9. I know you know this. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. I believe that you will reap that. I don't think that you sow any seed in that's wasted. I think that eventually the crop comes back in. It may well be in heaven. We may not see it till then. That's fine. But eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Right? And I appreciate that. But like I said this morning, my idiot index ran pretty high for a few years. And I acted and treated life like a moron. And so I sure am glad there are some things that I haven't seen that have come back from that. Thank God for crop failure. Now there's another thing I'd like to touch base with you on that sometimes fails in the spiritual life of sowing and reaping that is not true on the farm. Sometimes, spiritually, you reap in a different field than you sow in. That doesn't happen on the farm. If you sow corn on that 50-acre plot, the corn doesn't come up on that 50-acre plot. It never happens that way. The field that you sow in is the crop that you reap in, good, bad, or ugly. But I noticed in the ministry, and I noticed sometimes in the spiritual life, that sometimes you sow in one field and the crop comes up in another. For instance, I noticed it particularly the way we've done things. I believe that one of the things the Lord dealt with me about when I came to Minnesota was that this is going to be a sowing ministry. I'd come out of the Hiles brand of things for just a little while before I went to PBI. So I'd been exposed to that. And, of course, for those guys, you go out, preach the gospel, knock the doors, and you get people saved, and you grab them by the neck and arm wrestle them into the church, baptize them, and make sure that they sit in that chair and that they're always there. But I couldn't quite rectify that. I just couldn't come to do things that way. And so I knew the Lord was calling me to a kind of a hardened area. And so I had already confirmed in my heart and mind that this was going to be largely a sowing ministry. And so we've sown the gospel in public, straight preaching, door knocking, flyers, tracts, for all these 30 years. I wish I had kept up with some, faint idea of how many hundreds of thousands of tracts have been put out, by our church in 30 years, and I'm not sure what that would be now. But for 30 years, we've sown that. And yet, oddly enough, our church growth has always come from another direction. I can't name you more than 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 people that have come to our church out of street preaching or door knocking. And that means that an awful lot of y'all are here tonight, not just because you were born here, but some of you are here because the Lord sent you from another direction. I am absolutely confident that had we not done that work without seeing the return on that field, that so many of you would not be here tonight. That's sowing in one field and reaping in another. For a while, for those first years, after our initial split and all that, you know, we were meeting in that little business building on Silver Lake Road. And it seemed like there for the longest time, anybody that we got in church wasn't quite whole. Or they were as poor as Job's turkey, or they lived in a nursing home. And so we ministered in nursing homes, and man, we ran the wheels off of cars going to get people to come to church, and they had no money, and they weren't putting anything in the plate, and all that kind of stuff. And yet, somehow, after ministering like that for just a handful of years, 4 or 5 years, sometime around that period of time, that phase ended, I wound up in the ministry full time. My wife and I built a house, brand new, and then we got in this building, all like within a period of 2 years, a two-year time frame. How do you do that, ministering to old ladies in nursing homes that have no money, to people that don't have a job and have no money, and, you know, that aren't quite whole and have no money? How do you manage to do that? And all I can say is that you sow in one field and reap in another. And so for anybody that's ever been a little bit, you know, about going to nursing homes and going to a place where folks fall asleep and going to the street where nobody listens and just keeps walking and throws your stuff on the ground and all that stuff, I can only tell you, on the farm, if you planted a seed in a certain place, that's where the seed was going to come up. But that's just not the case in the spiritual life. An awful lot of times you sow in one field and it comes up in another field. It's just the weirdest thing. I'm reminded of Brother Sweat up there in Pickle Lake, Ontario. And you know, here this guy, like I've told you before, is beating his brains out trying to get Indians in church. And as far as I could see, like I said, I saw 5 Indians all week in church. And it just looks to me like he's just pounding his head against the wall, getting nothing done. But at the same time, you know, I sat around the table for hours with he and his family at supper and stuff, and after church and all that stuff. Man, I like his family. Man, his family is nice. He's got a group of girls. They're all teenagers. You know, it's a funny thing. They just all sat around the table and laughed and talked and had the best time together. And they weren't gnarly. And they weren't mean or cantankerous or just trying to run off and go do their Facebook stuff upstairs. They were just perfectly happy to sit with mom and dad and a strange guy and talk and chatter and tell jokes and all this kind of stuff. Brother, you know, Brother Sweat's beating his head against the wall with the Indians, but seems to me like he's reaping in another field. And so I'd like you to think about that the next time you get frustrated with, you know, how things go and, well, this is not working. Well, you don't know what's working. You don't know whether what's not working here might just work over there and you don't even see it coming. That's all I got to say. Sometimes you reap in a different field than the field that you've sown. I can say this too. Sometimes you reap a different crop than the seed that you've sown. Doesn't happen on a farm. You've never heard a farmer drive by his field and say, "Well, Ma, I thought we planted corn on that there field. Where did those tomatoes come from?" Because what you plant in the ground comes up in the field. I mean, corn's corn, tomatoes are tomatoes, whatever. Potatoes are potatoes. And it doesn't happen always that way in the spiritual life. Now, I know that there's a rule about that, and I'm not contradicting the rule. I know this is true. Look in Job 4. I'm not a moron, usually. Job 4, I mean, I know this is true. Job 4, verse 8, "Even as I have seen they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." I mean, I know that's true. I mean, if you sow to the flesh and sow wickedness and sin, that's what you're going to get back. I know that's true. Look in Proverbs 22. I'm not contradicting this part. So I'm showing you these just to affirm to you that I know. Proverbs 22, go down to verse 8. "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." Well, that's consistent. If you sow sin, you're going to get nothing back that's worth having. And so that's true. I know that's true. But did you ever think that here we are, and what do we believe in? We believe in preaching. We believe in the power of God, right? And that it is the power of God. And so there's an awful lot of time spent just talking, just teaching, just preaching, just running, just somebody up here, me or Brother Donovan or Brother Peacock or Brother Spurgeon or one of these other guys that preach, you know, when I'm gone or whatever, and we just run our mouths. And so it's reasonable to expect in the law of sowing and reaping that sowing that, what you would get back is a bunch of talk. But that's not what we shoot for, and for all intents and purposes, that's not what we've gotten back with the crowd that's here tonight. You sow talk, and you get back changed lives. That's getting back a different seed than you've sown. See what I'm saying? Think about, you know, men, not the Bible, but men in business say that men spend money to make money, and I know that that part's true. It works differently in the spiritual life. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 9. Sometimes we are blessed. Sometimes we are blessed with crop failure. Sometimes we reap in a different field than we've sown. Sometimes we reap a different seed than we've sown. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Go down to verse 17. Now, watch. Like I said, men say you have to spend money to make money. And I know that if you're a businessman, that's the case. But verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God that giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they... I mean, he's not focusing on their money at all. He mentions that in passing here, but for a really rich guy, when a multimillionaire walks in the back of the door, in the back door, and the preacher knows he's a multimillionaire, most usually what most preachers think is, bang, money. I'd like to tap into some of that, right? Well, notice God's take on this, Paul's take. Notice he moves right over the money. They should not trust in uncertain riches and should not be high-minded about those things, that they do good. He's interested in them doing good, just like somebody else doing good. That they do good, that they be rich in good works. That is, that they should do the same things that you and I do. Verse 18, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. He's all for, and I believe this thoroughly, that the rich guy is supposed to be true with his money and supposed to be faithful with his money. But the Lord's not just interested in the rich guy's money. He's interested in what he's doing, what he's sowing, his good works, is just like for me and you. And it's not his money that lays up anything in store for him in time, for times to come. I mean, if things get bad, what's going to matter for you is that you've served God now while you have the open window. And one day when the window closes and they come down on us like somewhere in Bulgaria back in the bad old days or something like that, what's going to matter is what you've sown in this life. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about a lot more than money, right? And so here you have somebody being asked who's rich to sow good works and the same things that you and I are called to sow. You cannot serve God and mammon, he says. That's sowing a different seed than you reap. Look in Psalm 126 for a second. And while you're turning there, go to Ecclesiastes. Let me show you another example of reaping a different crop than you've sown. Ecclesiastes 1 and Psalm 126. Psalm 126 and verse 5. Now I know there's another verse after this, but notice, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So you sow tears and you reap joy. Now I know there's a context there and all that, but that's taking the opposite harvest from what you sowed. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, or verse 8 says, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse, doesn't look right. Excuse me, just let me look here for a second. Yeah, I'm looking at verse 18 instead of verse 8. Wrote that down wrong. For in much wisdom is much grief. He that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Okay. So, in spite of what Joel Osteen teaches and preaches and the psychobabble Christians teach and preach, the more real, true wisdom and knowledge you have about yourself, the more sorrowful and grievous it is because of the truth about you. And the more you learn about yourself, the worse it gets, because you find as you go through the Christian life, you're a worse sinner than you ever thought when you got saved at 10. Right? And so that becomes a grief. That can be a grievous, tearful thing. And realizing that you're nothing like Joel Osteen says you are at all. Not in the light of the Bible. And so you go and you have to sow that seed, and so you sow in tears. But what comes out of that, and knowing that there's such a thing as forgiveness, there's a rectification for it, you can get right and you can serve God, and it's all about grace, is that you can come out of it with joy, with rejoicing. And so somebody stands up here and just peels your hide. And it's hard to take, especially for folks that don't like their hide peeled. But the fruit of it, if it's right, is that what's sown goes in and what comes out is something joyful. Right? Part of the difference between a farm and the spiritual life is that you sometimes reap a different seed than you sow. I can give you another example. Look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, I've been thinking about this for a while. John 12, verse 25. Here's another example. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Well, that's certainly weird. That's certainly the opposite of how we are told we should do it. I mean, hating your own life and denying yourself is the right way. Look at yet another thing. Look in 1 Peter 5 and Matthew 23. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. I'm saying sometimes you reap a different crop than you sow. And you sow these things in tears, and you're grieved over your own self. And what can come of it, if you handle it right and realize the truth, is that there's a joy that comes from it. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5, go down to verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So you sow the seed of humility, maybe even humiliation at times, and you get back an exaltation from God. That's a different seed. It's a different seed than you put in the ground, right? You put a humble seed in the ground, and what happens then is you're exalted for it. Look at one more place, Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And go down to verse 12, Matthew 23. And verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. What you plant in the ground and what you get back are exact opposites, whichever way you go. If you exalt yourself, if you sow that seed, you're going to be humiliated and humbled. If you sow an humble seed, you're exalted. That's not like the farm works, right? You put corn in the ground, you get corn up. But that's why I say the spiritual life is different in that way. Look at another thing that I'd like to mention to you. Look in Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Sometimes we bless God for our crop failure, and thank God when crop failure fails in the flesh, because it's a grievous thing to reap. Sometimes we reap in a different field than is sown. Sometimes you reap a different crop than sown. Sometimes sowing a little bit brings forth a lot. Look in Luke 21. Luke 21, notice verse 1. Sometimes sowing a little bit brings forth a lot. Now, I'm aware, of course, that you put one seed corn in the ground and what comes up is a stalk, and it may have 3 or 4 or 5 ears of corn on it, so that's many times multiplied. I understand how that works. But in Luke 21, verse 1, he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites, virtually nothing. By monetary quantitative standards, the widow gave virtually nothing. And he said, "Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all." Sometimes sowing a little brings forth a lot. Because where Jesus Christ said, she gave more than they all, don't you know she has something waiting in heaven one day? Don't you know there's something there to be reaped that's different than what she put in? I'll give you another example of that. Look in Luke 7. Luke chapter 7. I've been spoiled a couple times by the Lord, you know, telling me to do something, and first time I go out and do it, one of the first times I ever went out and tried to win somebody to Christ, I succeeded. You know, and it's an encouragement and all that, but sometimes, you know, you just put forth a little effort and you get a lot back. For instance, here in Luke chapter 7, this happens this one time. This centurion, of course, has this servant that is sick unto to death and wants Jesus Christ to come heal him. Jesus Christ is on the way and starts to come. And notice verse 7, "Wherefore neither thought I myself..." Now this is the centurion talking to Christ, sending word to Christ. "Neither therefore thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. Then my servant do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith." No, not in Israel. Now imagine a guy just doing something simple, just a clear cut standard and principle that he understood perfectly. Here's a soldier. He says, "Oh, you don't have to come. I understand orders well. Just give the order, and that's more than sufficient." And Jesus said, "Man, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." Now, my point in saying all that is that sometimes, occasionally, you put just a little bit of effort in, and you get back this big reward. And that's always a joy. But don't get used to it. Because the other side of the coin is that sometimes you sow a lot to bring forth a little. For that time, in fact, for every time that you decided to pray for something or about something, and within a day it was a done deal, and you go, "Whoa, that was quick. That worked pretty good. I'm going to be a prayer warrior now." Well, for every time that happened, you probably can go down your prayer list and find another 30 times, 40 times, 50 times, 100 times that you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed before anything happened. In fact, it may seem like nothing's happening right now after you prayed for years. Sometimes you have to sow a lot, bring forth a little. A farmer fails. If he has to put 10 bushels of seed corn in the ground to get a bushel back, well, he ain't going to make any money that way. Right? And so that doesn't happen on the farm. That just can't happen. But the Lord asks us to walk that path all the time, where you put sometimes years into something before anything comes back out. Here's Brother Del Grande. I was telling the men tonight, his health failed on the mission field in South Africa. so they came off the field. He tried his hand as an evangelist and went for a few years as an evangelist, had meetings and stuff, but in time decided he had to come off because he was trying to raise his family on the road. Became an assistant pastor in Pennsylvania somewhere, and you know, it was one of those situations that you go into thinking things are fine, and then they weren't fine at all. And so that kind of failed, and then he's just finished up investing about 3 years trying to start a church from scratch in Philadelphia, which is his hometown. And Philadelphia people can be fairly tough, and just he and his family tried to start it, it fell through, and it's not working. And so he's now looking for the next thing. Well, again, there's a perfect example of a guy that's given all that he's got to give. I mean, he's invested his wife, his family, his kids. They've had all kinds of health problems, money problems. He's worked like a dog and all those things. And as of right now, nothing's happening. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, sometimes you sow a lot to bring forth a little. So if you've been praying about something for a long time and it seems like nothing's happening, you just need to keep praying. You know, my wife and I were out in California and enjoyed, one of the great things we enjoyed was the sequoias, the great sequoias out there. And, you know, standing beneath one of those things, the guy had said, you know, that tree is bearing right now literally millions of seeds, millions of them. One of the most prolific trees in the world as far as the seeds that they put out. It's just that so few of those seeds ever come to anything, because sometimes they have to be burned. They have to go through something before they'll ever sprout. And so with millions of seeds on one tree, there may be one or two trees that eventually sprout from the seed. And so there you have, you know, sometimes you have to sow an awful lot to reap just a little bit. And then lastly, I'd like to call your attention to one last thing. This kind of came late in sermon prep, so I don't have a lot to say about it, but I think it's true. It doesn't match very well with a farm. Usually on a farm, if two farmers side by side with land side by side and ground that's basically side by side the same, plant the same crop, well, obviously, they've probably gotten the same rain. They've probably gotten the same sun. They're probably going to reap out of those two fields just about the same thing. Makes sense, right? You know, it's not that way in the spiritual life. My sowing may yield a different quality and a different quantity than my neighbor next door, who basically has the same ground and did the same thing, planted the same seed, plowed the same number of times, had the same amount of sun and the same amount of water. Because God doesn't call men in groups. He deals with men individually. And so it is that, you know, two guys sitting side by side in church with the same number of kids, they love their wives, all those things. Sometimes the kids don't grow up as much of successes in one family as the next. Sometimes it's inexplicable at times, but sometimes there's just trouble in the family, or trouble in life, or trouble with fruit, or not the same amount of fruit, or, you know, why can't, you know, Brother Smith right next to me here, you know, he prayed this and did this and sowed this crop and got this much out. Why in the world can I not get the same? And the answer is simply that God is not fair. He just does not necessarily give to you exactly the same thing that He gives to somebody else. There are too many variables. It all has to do with heart and how the Lord's dealing with you and what the Lord's going to do to you and where He's going to call you and how what He's trying to do inside you and all those things. But very often, two guys sitting side by side are not enjoying all the same blessings. And it's very mysterious to us, because we think that the ground should be level and that God should treat us the same, that we should put in a quarter, just like the guy next door to us, and that what comes out the bottom should be the same thing that we put in our quarter for as he put in his quarter for, and a lot of times that's just not the case. So, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's for sure. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. But just know that you ought to feel blessed if you've suffered some crop failures. Because there are some things that you sowed before you got saved. And for that matter, after you got saved. You ought to be really thankful those crops never came up. And if you haven't reviewed that recently, this might be a good night. You should also just know that sometimes you reap in a different field than you sowed in. And so you're working over there, and nothing's happening, nothing's coming up, and it's just not the yield coming up there. If you're not careful, it'll come up over there, and you'll miss it. I like to say sometimes a different seed comes up than you sowed. It happens all the time here. We talk. And sometimes somebody's life changes. That's not the same seed coming out that went in, right? I'd like to say that some folks sow a little and get a lot out. You've probably had those moments in your life, and that's good. That's encouraging. But there's an awful lot of times that you spend an awful lot of time sowing and get a little out. The only thing I have left to say about that is that should make what comes out of it very precious. If you have to pray harder for somebody to get saved today than you did 10 years ago or whatever, then that soul is all the more precious for the effort that you have to put in. Amen? And I like to say that sometimes my sowing does not yield the same increase that my neighbor's does, because the Lord's not fair. He doesn't do things the same for everybody in every way. And there are reasons why. And you'll have to figure out why. He's probably doing something in your heart. Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father, we thank you for tonight and ask that you'll bless the Word of God here. Give us some things to think about. Well, Father, you let me grow up on a farm. I'm glad that, frankly, to be away from it in a lot of ways. But it's been a major help to me in thinking about these things. I learned a lot about farm animals and cattle and crops and rain and drought and disease and all those things. And those things relate to the Christian life so often. I pray that you might help those things to be real to us all. May we take heed in these things that we've talked about here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a minute. Maybe you've wrestled with the Lord some on, you know, why the things that you've sown, what you've labored in, hasn't yielded what you thought it should, from the direction that you thought it should. You think about 30 years of trying to win a public, in a public ministry, trying to win the public to Christ, and so few responding, really. And yet, I think at the same time how blessed we are to have the kind of church that we do, and what the Lord's blessed in ways that we haven't seen, that you can't attribute directly to the seed that you put in the ground, because it came up in a different place. And I'm thankful that sometimes what I put in the ground comes up different than I thought. So I'd like you to think about those things for a while and hope that you can be benefited by it. Well, Father, we love you tonight. Appreciate a small group that came out. Ask you to give them safety going home. We do love you and we need you. We know that. Father, we have a major effort coming up here in the next few weeks trying to get the gospel to the public. And Lord, those people out there are without Christ, without hope, and without God. They have money to spend. They're going to spend it on all kinds of partying, perhaps on a football game. And they'll be no better off for it unless they do something with the gospel. So I pray that you might work in our midst, Father, burden folks here for the work. Help them to desire to be in the harvest. And Father, we do pray for a harvest, but if all else fails, it's an honor to sow the seed. And I pray that you'd please help us to be willing to put forth the labor necessary. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Y'all are dismissed tonight.